says all his perk based mission Zion and full perk Gil Mishnah Gimel. Following on from the previous mission, the next few Mishnahs talk about when different parts of a dead body are able to combine to make the minimum amount necessary to transfer Tumah. And we've learned that although a volume of a quarter of a kav of bones is necessary to transfer Tumah via Oihel, via being under the same roof, or on top, or underneath another item, but in order for it to transfer its tumah in a regular way, via maga, being touched, or masa, being carried by a person, there is a halacha l'Moshe Mesinai, a tradition that we have going back to Moshe Rabbeinu that he received at Har Sinai, that states that it's enough that the bone be even the size of a corn of barley, which is a very small amount, and it would be a source of impurity if it's touched or carried. The question of our Mishnah is whether that applies even with regards to Etzem Kasa Oira, a bone which is the size of a corn of barley, Shenech like Lishnayim, that is being split into two. Do those two parts combine to make up that minimum amount to be a source of impurity or not? Rabbi Akiva Metame, Rabbi Akiva says that it would be a source of impurity, whereas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Metahe, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri says that it wouldn't be a source of impurity. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri immediately explains his logic, because Omer Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri said, Le'omrat Someis Kasa Oira. The Chachomim, when they passed down the tradition, which we have going back to Moshe Rabbeinu, this Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, the language of this law isn't at Someis Kasa Oira, bones that are the size of a corn of barley, Ela Etzen Kasa Oira, rather it's a bone, a singular bone, the size of a corn of barley. And therefore the implication of this tradition is that only if there is a bone that one piece itself makes up that minimum size of a corn of barley, only then would it be a source of impurity. It should be noted that many understand that even Rabbi Akiva agrees with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri when it comes to Tumas Maga, if somebody touches these two pieces. Because the Torah itself, when it talks about a bone making something or somebody impure, the Torah also uses the word etzem, bone, in the singular. It's only with regards to somebody who carries both of those pieces together that the source that he becomes tomei at all is the halacha l'Moshe Mesinai. And in that case, Rabbi Akiva argues with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri whether to interpret the language of the halacha l'Moshe Mesinai literally or not. And that means that the Mishnah is talking about a case where somebody carried both of those two pieces. And in that case specifically, Rabbi Akiva says that he would become Tomei. The next case of the Mishnah is very similar. Reva Atzomais, here we're talking about a volume of a quarter of a kav of bones, and that's enough in general in order to transfer Tuma even via Oihel, via being under the same roof. But in this case, Shenidakdaku, these bones had been crushed into a fine powder, the aim be called echad echad etzem kasa'ira, and there is no one piece of bone that remains that is even the size of a corn of barley. Rabbi Shimon Metaher, Rabbi Shimon says that it is not a source of impurity at all. Not only does it lack the significance to transfer tumah via oihel, but it can't even transfer tumah if it is touched or carried. Now, in general, Rabbi Shimon does not argue with Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Shimon was Rabbi Akiva's Talmud, his student. Rabbi Shimon is the same person as Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And if so, the question is asked that we just learned that Rabbi Akiva holds that multiple parts of a bone do combine to make up the minimum amount of a corn of barley, at least. And if so, it could be that the little pieces of bones over here lack the significance to transfer tumah via oihel, but why don't they combine at least to be a source of impurity if they are touched or carried, or like the way we explained, if they are carried at least? So one answer given by the Brisker Rav, and indeed this is very much implied in the Mishnah, is that Rabbi Akiva spoke about a case where there was one bone, and the bone was split into two. So those two parts of the bone can combine. They can combine together to make up that minimum amount of a corn of barley. But over here, the Mishnah is talking about a quarter of kav of bones that came not only from one bone, but there are multiple bones and small pieces of those bones. In that case, even Rabbi Akiva agrees that they do not combine together to make up the minimal amount, and because of that, Rabbi Shimon indeed would fit even with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. On the other hand, v'chachom metamin, the chachom say that a quarter of a kav of bones, even if they've been crushed up and they're all very small pieces, it would still be a source of impurity that can be transferred even via Tumas Oihel, even by being under the same roof, because at the end of the day, there is enough of a volume of the bones. Continues the Mishnah. We've seen that Eiver Min HaChai, a limb that has been separated from an alive person, is a source of impurity, just like a limb that is separated from a dead person. However, we already saw that this impurity is more limited. Only if the limb is in its full state would it be a source of impurity. But Eiver Min HaChai Shenechalek L'Shnayim, if it was split into two, after it was separated as a full limb from the body, it was then split into two. Tahar, it stops being a source of impurity, it's fully pure, because it's no longer a limb in its complete form. However, Rabbi Yosi Mitame, Rabbi Yosi says that it would still be a source of impurity, because it separated from the body as a full limb, and at that point it received the status of an Eiver Min HaChai, a limb that was separated from an alive person and is a source of impurity, even if later on it is split into two, it wouldn't lose its impurity. The Mishnah notes that Umoideh Sheimnitol Chatzoim Shou Tohar, Rabbi Yosi agrees that if it was separated from the body in halves, it wasn't separated from the body as a full limb, so then it never became Tomei, and in that case Rabbi Yosi would agree that it would be pure, it wouldn't be a source of impurity. But if it was separated as a full limb, and it therefore received the status of a Eiver Min HaChai, a source of impurity, then even if later on it was split into two, it would not lose that status of being a source of Tumah. It should be noted that even in that case that Rabbi Yosi says that it would be a source of impurity, much like in the first part of the Mishnah, this does not apply if a person touches both of those pieces. If he carries both of them, or is underneath the same roof as both of them, then he would become impure. But if he touches both of those pieces at the same time even, they would not combine together, because the minimal amount cannot be reached by a combination of multiple pieces which are only being touched. Perek Yul Mishnah Aleph. The first few Mishnayos of this Perek, this chapter, continue the discussion of the last couple of Mishnayos in the previous Perek of combining different parts of the dead body to make up the minimal amount necessary to transfer Tumah. We've seen an argument about combining pieces from two different bodies, about combining two parts of the same bone or of different bones. Those are all more specific arguments, and now the Mishnah talks about a general argument of Kol HaMetamim B'Oihel. Any parts of a dead body that are enough to transfer Tumah even via Oihel by being under the same roof or on top of something or underneath it, v'shenechleku, which was split into two, v'chnisan esich habayis, and somebody brought them into a house underneath a particular roof. We have a fundamental argument over here between Rabbi Yosi ben Harkinas mitaher. Rabbi Yochanan ben Harkinas says that it would not be a source of impurity, they would not combine. We need that minimal amount to be in one piece in order to transfer its tumah via oihel. Otherwise we don't see the connection between those two pieces at all. However, v'chachom mitamim, the chachom say that they would be a source of impurity, and anything under that roof would become tomei, because at the end of the day, the way that the tumah is being transferred is by being under the same roof. And since these two pieces are under the same roof, they would combine to make all of the other items underneath that same roof in the same room tomei. Ketzad, how so? And the Mishnah now elaborates and shows that this argument is not limited to Tumas Oihel, but also to other ways that Tumah can be transferred. Now the Mishnah is going to show that even according to the Chachomim, that pieces do combine together. This is only true if the way that the Tumah is being transferred by both of those halves is in the same way. So the simplest example being, if somebody touches two pieces of a nevela is an animal that has died without receiving a proper slaughter that permits it to be eaten, and such an animal is a source of impurity, if somebody touches it or carries it. So if somebody touches two pieces of a nevela, and each piece is the size of half of an olive, the minimum amount which is needed to transfer the tumah is the size of an olive. Since he is touching both of them, so the tumah is being transferred in this identical way from both of those pieces, according to the Chachomim, they would combine. Everything that we said in the previous Mishnah about touching being an exception, that was with regards to bones and possibly a limb because it contains a bone, that was in a very specific case, but in general, even touching can combine the two pieces, and according to the Chachomim, in such a case, they would combine together and the person would become Tomei. Likewise, Oinoson, or if he was carrying both of those half-olive-sized pieces. Since the tumah is being transferred from both of those pieces in an identical way, by being carried, they would combine together. But now the Mishnah adds an interesting case, Uva Meis, and with regards to a dead body of a human being, that his impurity can be transferred even via Oihel, by being under the same roof, or on top of it, or underneath it. If somebody touches a piece which is the size of half of an olive, and he also is on top of another piece of the dead body which is half the size of an olive. So for example, a simple case, he's touching with one hand a piece of the dead body which is not big enough to make him tomei by itself. And his other hand is placed on top of, without touching, it's placed over another small piece of the dead body. In this case too, the Chachomim hold that they do combine together and he would become tomei. The question is, we mentioned, and this is explicit at the end of this Mishnah, that even the Chachomim hold that the two pieces combine only if their impurity is being transferred in an identical way. Over here, we have Mago on the one hand, touching, and Oihel being over it on the other hand. That's two different forms of impurity. And the truth is, this question is already posed by the Gemara, and one of the answers which is given is that we are talking about a specific kind of Tumas Oihel, which is called Tumarut Tzutza. We're going to learn in extensive detail throughout the Masechta that in order to be considered an Oihel, there has to be at least a space of a tefach, the width of a fist, underneath that roof. If that's the case, so then if there's, let's say, a dead body or a piece of a dead body underneath that roof, then anything else underneath that roof would become tomei. However, if the roof does not cover at least the space of a tefach, then it does not have the regular status of an oihel. Rather, it creates a situation of tumor tzutza, which literally means it's sort of squashed tumor. The tumor is pressed into this small space. And the law is that we imagine there's sort of an imaginary line going upwards forever and downwards forever. And anything which is directly above or directly below the piece of the dead body would become tomei. And this is not a regular form of Tumas Oihel that we learned that if somebody is a roof on top of a piece of a dead body, or the dead body is forming a roof on top of him, then he would become tomei. Because that wouldn't help to make something underground tomei. But in the case of Tumarut Tzutza, anything which is directly below, even if there's lots of the ground separating it, anything which is in a direct line below, and all the more so above the piece of the dead body, would become tomei. And it's with regards to this form of tumah, specifically Tumarut Tzutza, that the Chachomim hold that is considered to be like touching. We imagine as if the tumah itself spreads in a direct line upwards and downwards, and anything which is over there is considered to be touching the tumah itself and would become tomei. This would combine with somebody who is touching another piece of the dead body, and that is the explanation of this part of the Mishnah. It should be noted that so much so do we view this kind of tumah as if one is touching it, as opposed to a regular form of Tumas Oihel, that we're going to see an example in a continuation of the Mishnah that this would not combine with regular Tumas Oihel. If half of the piece of the dead body is transferring its tumor via regular Tumas Oihel, and part of it because via Tumarut Tzutza, they would not combine, because Tumarut Tzutza is considered to be basically a form of Tumas Mago, of transferring its impurity via contact. Alright, continues the Mishnah. If somebody is touching a piece of the dead body which is half the size of an olive, and a piece which is half the size of an olive is forming a roof over him, and once again, this is less than a tefach, or if he is forming a roof on top of two pieces which are half the size of an olive each. In this case, it would be even if he is forming a roof with more than a tefach underneath it, because the tumah is being transferred in the same way, via tumas oihel. Or if mahla khatizayas, if he is forming a roof on top of a piece which is half the size of an olive, and v'chachatzayas mahla lov, there is another piece which is half the size of an olive, which is over him. Again, since the tumah is being transferred from both pieces in a similar way, Rabbi Dosef ben Arkinas metaher, Rabbi Dosef ben Arkinas says that still it would not combine, and the tumah would not be transferred, but v'chachom metamin, the chachom say that they do combine to make the person tomei. However, aval hanuger b'chachatzayas, if somebody is touching a piece which is half the size of an olive, v'dovar acher ma'ahil alov al kechatzayas, and something else is forming a roof on top of him and another piece which is half the size of an olive. So here this is a regular way of tumas oihel, where since he is underneath the same roof as a piece of a dead body, the tumah is transferred in that way, oy mahil akachat zayis, or if he is forming a roof on top of a piece which is half the size of an olive, and there is less than a tefach between his hand and the piece of the dead body. And because of that, like we explained, it's considered to be a form of tumas maga, or at least very similar to that. It's considered to be that the tumah goes directly upwards and downwards, and it's as if he's touching it. Whereas the other side, the other piece of the dead body is being transferred via tumas oihel, v'dover achir ma'al al katz zayis. There is something else forming a roof on top of him and a piece which is half the size of an olive. So this is a case of tumah which is being transferred via contact and tumah being transferred via oihel. And therefore they don't combine even according to the Chachomim, so tohar, the person would remain pure. On Rabbi Meir said, Af bozer, Rabbi Dosman Arkinas metar v'achom metamim. Even in this case, Rabbi Dosman Arkinas certainly says that it would be pure, but the Chachomim say that it's tome even in this case. And it appears to be that Rabbi Meir has a certain understanding that even tumas oihel of a regular form is very similar to tumah of touch, of contact. Rabbi Meir views it as if the entire room becomes filled with tumah, anything underneath that roof, and that is how the tumah is transferred to the other items underneath the roof. And because of that, the mechanism, the way that the tumah is transferred, is extremely similar to regular tumas mago, when somebody is touching the source of impurity. Over here, he's touching the impurity itself. And because of that, according to Rabbi Meir, tumas mago and tumas oihel, touching and being under the same roof, would combine together to make the person tomei. So essentially, what emerges is that hakol tomei, at least the way that Rabbi Meir understands the opinion of the Chachomim, the person would always be tomei as a result of these combinations, except for two cases, chutz min hamago im hamasa, combining tumah which is transferred via contact and tumah which is transferred via being carried, or v'hamasa im ha'oihel, if somebody carries a part of it and the other part transfers its tumah via oihel. Because carrying is certainly not considered to be similar to contact or oihel. And the Mishnah summarizes that, klol, this is the rule, kol shum shem echod, any two transfers of tumah which are the same type, tomei, they would combine to make the person tomei, whereas mishnei mit shemais, if it's two different kinds of transfers of the tumah, then they would not combine, and tohar, the person would remain pure. Mishnah Beis, towards the beginning of the previous parak, the previous chapter, we learnt about an argument whether the dust that comes from a body that has been decomposed, it's true that this is certainly a source of impurity if there is at least a large spoonful of this dust, but we saw an argument whether it still transfers its tumah if it's mixed with other dust. This Mishnah shows that even if the dust is mixed with other dust, and it's been spread, it's not all together in one pile, even then, according to one opinion, it would transfer its tumah, even via tumas oihel. Meloi sarvad rokov, a large spoonful of dust that has come from a decomposed body, and has also been mixed with other dust, shenispazar b'soich habayis, and it's been spread throughout the house, which means it's been spread across a particular room, and it's all underneath the same roof. That itself would basically mix it with other dust. The Mishnah says, Habayis Tomei. According to the Tanakhama, the first opinion of the Mishnah, the room would be Tomei. Literally, this means that the house would be Tomei. What it really means is that anything underneath that same roof would become Tomei, as long as it's an item that is fit to become Tomei, or if it's a person. For Rabbi Shimon Mataher, however, Rabbi Shimon says that it would not be a source of impurities since it's both been mixed with other earth, other dust, and it's been spread around the room. Continues the Mishnah, Revius Dam, a quarter of a loig of blood, which is the minimum amount of blood needed to spread the tumah via tumas oihel, shenivl ol asuich habayis, that has been absorbed into the ground of the house, of a room, habayis tohar, the house is pure, meaning the things which are underneath the same roof would not become tome. The truth is, anything which was there underneath that same roof when the blood reached there is likely to be tome, because the blood was there before it was absorbed, but something which will be brought into that room later on, once the blood has been absorbed, would not become tome. Nivla'o b'ksus, what happens if the blood gets absorbed into an item of clothing? Im is kabeses, v'yotzo mena revies dam, if when it is washed just with water, a quarter of a loig of blood will emerge, then Tameo, it would still be a source of impurity. Veim lav, but if not, Tahoira, the blood which is absorbed would no longer be a source of impurity. It wouldn't spread Tumah to anything underneath the same roof. Shekol ha-baluash in yochel lotzeis, because anything that has been absorbed and cannot come out again, at least without adding special cleaning liquids or powders, it no longer would spread its Tumah in that state. So Tahar, it would be pure. It should be noted that certainly the item of clothing itself is Tomei, because it touched the blood. The discussion of the Mishnah is whether the blood which is absorbed can still transfer its Tumah to anything underneath the same roof. Mishnah Gimel, the law is that if somebody forms a roof on top of part of a piece of a dead body, even if the part that he is forming a roof over is smaller than the minimum size necessary, since it's all one piece, he would become Tomei. The Mishnah talks about this law with regards to liquids, whether we consider the liquid to be like one item, or that each drop of the liquid is like a separate entity. Nishpach ba'avir, if a quarter of a loig of blood spills out in the open, if the area on which it spilled was on a slant, it was on a slope. In such a case, halachically we view each drop as a separate entity, and because of that, v'heil ha'miktsosai, if he formed a roof only on part of it, Tahar, he would remain pure. However, Hoyoesh Beiren, if it was in something that contained it, for example, a small groove or a very small shallow hole in the ground, it was contained in a particular area, Eisha Korash, all the blood had already congealed. In these two cases, halachically we view it as one entity, and therefore the fact that he is on top of even part of it is enough to make him Tomei impure. Nishpach alay skupa. If the blood spilled on a sort of platform at the entrance of a person's house, onto which he would step and then he would walk into the house, v'ktafris, and this platform is once again on a slant, b'me b'fnim, whether it's slanting towards the inside of the house, b'me b'chutz, whether the slant is downwards towards the direction outside of the house, and v'habayis ma'ahil alov, the house itself, the roof of the house, is also forms a roof over part of the platform. But it doesn't form a roof over all of the blood, since it's on a slant, so all of the blood is viewed as a different entity. Each drop is by itself, and therefore Tahar, the person who is inside the house, or any item which is inside of the house, would remain pure, because the Tumah is not transferred. However, Hayoesh Beiren, if it was inside something that contains it, for example, a small groove on the platform, Oshikorash, or if it had congealed, then it would be considered like one entity. And since there is a roof on top of part of it, all of its Tumah would be transferred to anything which is in that house. Anything which is under the same roof would be Tomei impure. Continues the Mishnah with a different law. Kol sheba meis, any part of a dead body, Tomei, is considered to be a source of impurity that can be transferred even via Tumas Oyehel, as long as there is enough of it, as discussed in the previous chapter. What exactly the minimum sizes are. Chutz min ha-shinayim, except for a person's teeth, v'ha-seyar, or his hair, v'ha-tziporin, or his nails, those, strictly speaking, are not considered to be sources of impurity. If somebody touches only the hair, he would not become Tomei. This is learnt from Pesukim. The example the Torah gives of a part of the dead body is a bone. A bone is unique in that it was there from the beginning of the person's birth, and that if the bone is taken off, it doesn't just grow back like hair or nails. They naturally grow back to exactly how they were originally. And because of that, these parts of the body are not similar to a bone. Teeth were not there since the person was born, and therefore they are not sources of impurity. However, v'shas chiburon, as long as they are attached to the rest of the body, then hakol tomei. All of it would become tomei. It's learned from Pesukim that they would be considered an extension of the body itself, and therefore, as long as they're attached to the body, if somebody touched only the teeth or the hair or the nails, they would become tomei.